Hello, for another week on Asset Event. We just arrived on FOSDEM 2026, where we will give a presentation about Rama and developing networking services with Rama. And we are well on our way to register as a speaker. And hopefully we will also encounter some people to talk to about networking and protocols at FOSDEM 2026 in Brussels. We bump into Turts. We interview him before in an episode around LNet Labs, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last one that we did with him about LNet Labs. They do a lot of interesting stuff, and this year they're even celebrating their 25-year anniversary. So there is still a lot of amazing technology and protocol work to unpack there. But for now, I want to hear a bit about Turts and how he's doing and how his talk went, the kind of feedback he got, and how Roto is going, because I still see Roto as a very interesting language for plugins that could be very useful and very nice for a lot of people building network services with Rama. You've been here the full 2 days?
Yes, so we arrived Saturday morning very, very early, and then we're leaving in a bit, so 2 days, yeah.
And you stay in a hotel or something, or you went?
Yeah, we're staying in a hostel with 8 people.
All from LNet Labs, or?
No. So one from LNet Labs, and then just a bunch of friends.
And how was your talk about? It was about Roto.
Yes, it was about Roto. Also a little bit about how it works under the hood. I tried to because it's a staff room, I was like, okay, can't just show how to use it. I want to like sort of dive deep into how that works under the hood and all the unsafe stuff we have to pull. I think it went well. I think people liked it. I got good feedback, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Got some interesting questions as well. So yeah.
What kind of question did you get, for example? Like, what was the question you liked most?
There were some people who like pointed out some really interesting things. There's somebody who said like, oh yeah, why don't you use Rust's fee tables? And then that gave me a whole opportunity to explain about, yeah, okay, I can't use Rust's fee tables because I have to make my own for Roto's types and stuff. Some of those questions allowed me to explain a little bit more about the things that I didn't have time to say, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. And initially you developed Roto for your own like internal like products.
Mm-hmm.
But are you already aware of like other like companies or organizations using Roto?
So there's at least one, which is the Iocane. It's essentially, yeah, so Iocane is a project that can kind of fend off AI crawlers and send them into a lace of links, because otherwise they put too much pressure on some of the servers. And that is used by, I think, a bunch of servers nowadays. And by default, that does use a Roto configuration. So that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
And for the rest, it's a lot of, like, interest, but nothing concrete yet, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still very young, of course.
Yeah, it is.
Like, what do you expect from it yourself? Like, if you're honest, like, let's say this year, next year, what is for you on the horizon for Roto?
It's basically building more features until, like, it's trying to find out what features people need before they can start using it, and then knocking off those features one by one is kind of my goal for the next year, at least. Get it ready for people to use. Understanding what is missing is really important there. If I don't know, then I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. And now currently from your, how is it serving you? And what do you see as now the most priority, like what is missing?
The weird thing is that our scripts currently are not the most crazy, complicated things. They're actually quite simple. but what it's missing,
because I imagine you have a backlog, right? Like,
yeah,
the most pressing.
Yeah, so there's like I want to have something like maps or dictionaries. That feels like a big one. And then the other thing is like I would love to have first class functions so that you can pass a function as a variable and then do like that you can map over all the elements in a list, for instance, or you could do all sorts of cool stuff like that. That would be, I think that is also what, and that's also one, because if people want to make plugins with this thing, for example, for an editor or something, they would need to register handlers for certain actions. So you have a key binding that you want to map to a function in Roto. If you want to do that process in Roto too, you need to basically say, hey, this key map matches this function. So you need to be able to talk about the function and put that, like, register it that way.
Yeah.
So that requires first class functions.
And so if you could realize your wildest dreams with Roto in the next year, what would it be?
Oh, it would do so much stuff and it would be so fast and it would be. I think sort of feature completeness, at least for the next year, is the goal. And after that, world domination. No.
Very nice.
No.
Easily achievable.
No. It's the wildest dreams is that it helps people, and that people can use it in their products and their projects, and that I get a lot of feedback from it. That would be lovely. Yeah.
Very cool. And so you were here 2 days at FOSDEM.
Yeah.
How were some of your favorite talks, specifically around networking?
Around networking?
Ooh. Or were there not so many networking talks
that I attended? Not so much, no. Around networking, there was one about a peer-to-peer networking thing in Rust. That was very weird and interesting. I liked it. It was called Iroh. I think they call it the tour of peer to peer or something. It's like very, very cool, very private, very, very interesting.
What you took away from it?
That they decided to build that in Rust, which should be unsurprising, but it's still cool to see like people do like that crazy stuff. In Rust.
Do you still consider it at this point like a gamble, or do you think it's for by now proven itself and it's a solid choice?
I think it's a solid choice, at least on its own. Like, but your team needs to buy into it. But if you can, a lot of people are ultimately convinced, I think, if they start using it. So I don't think it's, I think it's sometimes a gamble, but not a big risk. It's a risk that will pay out.
Sadly, due to illness, I missed your colleague. And he was going to talk, was it horror stories of DNS or like
he talked about sort of an update on our DNS library. We have a DNS library that we were developing and some products around it, and then he talked about what has happened since we presented that here 2 years ago, and all the DNS sec signer that we've built around it, the little query CLI that we've built, a lot of tooling for operators that we built in the meantime, and that's all based on that library. So it was really nice to give the community an update around that and what we've been up to, and what they can expect from that library, because we also would like to see people using that library. It's not just for our own internal use. Like, we want to show off, like, okay, these are the things that we've built with it, but we also want your feedback on what this thing could be, what features it's missing, or where it could be improved, so that it can actually, like, become, like, a cornerstone of at least the Rust DNS community. That would be awesome.
And how was it received by on the community?
I think people like to talk. At least looking around the room, the people seem to like it quite a bit. I think good.
And so, given this weekend and how the 2 days went,
mm-hmm.
like, what's your feeling now going home? What you took away from these 2 days that you maybe looked at differently before this weekend?
So one thing that I kind of experienced here now that was very different from 2 years ago is that there were now a lot of people that I knew from other conferences, through my job, through Rust and the compiler community there as well. That's just like that was lovely to see. Like there were so many interesting people to talk to and that I recognized, and to it's like I could really feel that community around me, and I like that a lot. Like previously, I came here sort of blank, and I didn't have it. I came here with friends, but not much of a network, say, which is a very LinkedIn way of talking, but like in a friends kind of way, you know.
So I
love that, and that was lovely to experience, which also meant that I missed a lot of talks, but I had a lot of interesting conversations and it saw a lot of interesting people.
But that's anyway what like a lot of conferences are about. And nowadays there's some even conferences which are only doing the own conference like sidetrack calls.
Yeah.
Which is talking about conferences, how is the preparation for Rust Week going?
Yeah.
Rust Week.
Yeah, Rust Week is going quite well. We have ended our CFP, so we're now like fully reading through all the proposals, and it's a lot of them, and that's amazing. And we're gonna settle that soon. Then we're gonna meet up and do the final selection. And the rest of the preparation is just going quite well. No major hiccups to report. And we're really looking forward to it. We actually gave out the pins here with the Rust logo on it because we got a pin machine. So we'll be bringing that to the conference too, so people can make their own pins of anything they want. They can draw Ferrises or something to. So that's the kind of stuff that we're thinking about for the conference.
And so as to round up our conversation, is there anything you want to say to the Rust community now that we are starting like a new year? Okay, we're already February, but there's like a lot of potential still to untap this year. What would you like the Rust community to realize together?
Ooh. I say like it's mostly like keep doing what you're doing. It's a very cool community. It's a very friendly community. And I think those are the most important parts. Like just we need to keep inviting newcomers. We need to keep helping each other, be nice to each other and all that. Which is cliche, but also very, very important. And I think the Rust community is doing it very well, and that deserves to be said.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. And we also thank you for your hard work together with your company. You build a lot of really cool technology.
You're welcome. On behalf of the entire company, thank you. Yeah.
So I was walking around, and I bumped into Orhun. So we're going to talk with him in a sec. Orhun is a developer and maintainer for Ratatouille, and also we make use of it in Rama, specifically in the Rama CLI tool, to provide a TUI for in case you are connecting to a WebSocket server and the WebSocket handshake is complete, it will turn your CLI into a TUI, which is driven by Ratatouille. And so now we're going to switch over to Orhun, where we will talk about how Ratatouille is going, and how Frozen was for him. So, okay, hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, how about you?
Yeah, I super expected to bump into you, because I was just wrapping up our recording. But, so, you are the developer and maintainer of Ratatouille.
Yes.
And it came from, like, quite small, but it's going bigger and bigger, and I see it more and more appearing. Like, how is Ratatouille going this year, like, and what's the plans for the year to come? Because it's we're only February, so.
Yeah, it's going amazing, I should say. We just started our no STD support for embedded applications. Just before the year started, we created a new release. So now you can run SSE on no STD with Mousewood backend. And I am now working on the documentation and examples, so you can expect some cool stuff running on small displays, big displays, you know, microcontrollers. Now we're just slowly moving away from terminals, not really, but just enter a new era of doing some embedded stuff. So it's going to be great.
And you even made like a web framework?
Yeah, that was last year. Every year I'm just trying to like do different applications with this framework because UIs are like a problem, and I think terminal UIs are a good way to solve them. It's very simplistic. So yeah.
And so you travel a lot. You go to all the different conferences. What's usually the kind of feedback you're getting about like Ratatouille and expectations that maybe people have?
So I've seen people use it for system tools, games, small fun projects here and there. And most of the time it's really positive. I really like the feedback that I'm getting. And I mean, it's just very fun to see. Like, on the other side of the world, you just meet people who build stuff with this library, which is amazing. So, I just really enjoy doing that. And I'll keep, like, traveling and go to conferences and showcase what I am working on and what they can expect from SSE. So, yeah.
Okay. And so there's, like, another big, not a TUI, but, like, a GUI framework called Slint, I think.
Yeah.
And they were particularly focused on embedded. And I bet that they are like on fridges and freezers and wash machines and whatever. Is it like ever an ambition you have? Because I think you could make some really fancy like TUI like interfaces for like, imagine my wash machine.
Yeah.
It's not a TUI. You think like ever could be possible?
I think so. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're not competing with any framework. Maybe we are. I don't know. I'm just going to, this is open for comments, but yeah, it's all friendly. I think you can expect stuff like that. I mean, last year I've seen people run Ratatouille on car dashboards, which was, I think, crazy. And this year you might expect more stuff now that we have this NoSTD support, which means the applications will be smaller. You can run on many platforms. This ranges from not embedded, but also like the web stuff as well. So you might see Ratatouille going places this year. So.
Was it ever companies approaching you for this, or is it always like you maybe trying first and then seeing what happens?
It's usually just experimenting and just seeing what people are building. And I don't think we got reached out by this embedded stuff yet. But more that we showcase what we can do, I think people will get excited and companies will be excited as well, I think.
Yeah, and you recently had your musical projects around the guitar. Like, first it was tuning, but then I think it became more like to actually learn to play.
Yeah, so my idea was to teach myself guitar while building this project, but I still don't know how to play guitar. I just built the thing. But hopefully one day, if I keep like building this project, I assume that I will actually learn how to play it. But yeah, it's going all right. I would say I need to port my app to NoSTD now and do a bunch of things, make a new PCB and so on. But the idea is there, basically. I want to be able to tune my guitar. I wanted to show the notes to me, play like a little guitar hero on that. You know, seeing the fretboard visualizations, they're always nice. So we'll see how it goes. I want to kickstart it at some point, but let's see.
What holds you back?
I just need to sit down and write code, and with all these channels and stuff, it's not that easy sometimes, but yeah, I'll focus on that in the upcoming weeks.
And were you at FOSDAM for 2 days or just today?
2 days.
And you gave a talk too?
No, I was just like networking and talking to people. So yeah, I was in the robotics room actually, which was quite interesting. At least two presentations, they had Ratatouille dashboards in them, which was a bit surprising. I didn't know people were using it that much, but it was super cool. People are super excited about it, so yeah.
Very cool. And so what was your favorite talk of this FOSDAM, or your favorite set of talks?
That's a hard question, because I've seen, I think, 5 or 6 talks, and I think in the robotics room, I think there was a robot which they have built to like help with the golf players or something like that, which was interesting. I think so. And I immediately imagined a Rosetti UI on that. So
bet you see Rosetti interfaces everywhere.
Definitely. And after that, I just talked to them and said, hey, you can actually do this. I have this little ESP32 display with me right now. I just show them like what you can do with this. And people get excited, I get excited. So, yeah, definitely the robotics room was really interesting this year.
Yeah, very cool. So, thank you very much for your participating in this small unexpected interview.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I was just trying to find some coffee and some people to talk to, but this was definitely better. So, thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Awesome. Bye.
So, I'm at the end of my journey at FOSDEM 2026 in Brussels. It was a very exciting conference. There were a lot of amazing talks. There were a lot of conversations, but a lot of excitement. It's amazing to see how many people are building really cool stuff around cryptography, networking, decentralized internet, security. I also observed a lot of excitement when we explain about Rama, and I'm very happy that the talk was received quite well. People understood it, and the more they learn about it, the more excited they get. It's the same kind of experience that we're also getting when we talk with partners and as they adopt technology. As with some other things, it takes a bit to wrap your mind around it, especially because it's a different kind of mindset. Kind of mindset of a tool that works for you, but also the kind of way to think in services all the way down. It can be something you have to get used to. But as we had some conversations today on the conference, it was clear that people do get it, and you can see the spark in their eye when they start to realize the potential and realize what is impossible with it. So it's a bright future. Next week, we will have a conversation with Mauro. It will be an interesting conversation where there will be a lot of protocols regarding mail we can unpack that we didn't cover before. And there are quite some protocols involved in an email and everything around it. This also won't be the last time that we discuss email protocols and related technologies in NetStack, so I'm looking forward to that conversation. But for now, I have to sign off. But we will see you next week.
NetStack.fm is brought to you by Plavio, building secure, open, and resilient infrastructure with Rust protocols and purpose. This show is also made possible by Rama, the open source networking framework. Plavio offers service contracts and welcome sponsorships to keep building and supporting its ecosystem. The theme music of this podcast was composed by DJ Mailbox. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave a 5-star review. It really helps others discover the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time for the next handshake.